Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Just grifting along on a Thursday.
You know it, brother.
Grifting along. Welcome in to a Thursday. Man, this week has flown. You think this week flew by?
Wait till next week. We only got 3 days next week.
Which next week I don't want it to fly by. Next week I want it to go slow.
You do?
Yeah, starting on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, I was going to say Wednesday at 10:01.
Yeah.
Freeze time, baby.
Ah, let's just record the last hour of the show.
All right, we could do that. I've known shows that have done that in the past. Yeah, not here, but.
No, but they're not very good.
No, they're not.
Sorry.
Yeah, let's just be honest with you.
Stats are stats. it's interesting. I Mac Mori, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens with you here on a Thursday morning. Check us out everywhere on the app. You can download the Odyssey app, take it everywhere. You pop into Quick Trip, your car stops, the podcast stops, you come back in, boom, right back on you.
Okay. I love it, actually. That's how I listen in the afternoon now to shows and whatnot. You get in and out of the car, and you catch the show the entire time you're listening to us. So that's awesome, man.
It's like Netflix.
Yes, it is.
When you fall asleep and it says, are you still watching, and you forget to respond because you're asleep, when you wake up the next day, it says, restart season 2, episode 3. Yes.
Yes, sir.
Rewind about 5 minutes because I tuned out because I was asleep.
Forgot what I missed, right?
Yeah. Did you watch your Knickerbockers last night?
I did not. No NBA.
Put on quite the show.
Did they? Did they win last night?
Jalen Brunson kind of took over.
Is the NBA better when the Knicks are good, or is that just like me thinking that? Because I love the New York atmosphere when they're in the postseason.
That's a Mac question.
Mac, what do you think?
100% think so.
You do? Yeah, okay, absolutely. Good. I thought that was just me still being a child of the 90s and watching, you know, what went on there in the Garden with the Bulls and how exciting it was during the postseason. Then OJ drove across the screen and we're like, what the hell's going on with OJ? right? No, I think the NBA is better when the Knicks win, and I didn't think that was a biased opinion. I know Kling kind of always fell into that category as well, but it's good to hear you, Mac, in a completely different generation than me, who didn't grow up with the Knicks being above 500 ever, saying that, you know, it's better when the Knicks are in. Are other sports like that, where the sport is just better when a certain team is good? You think the NFL is better when Dallas is good? I think the NFL is better when Dallas is a it's what's going on
Are those two teams have in common when they are good?
Disappointment
in the postseason.
Yeah, oh, that too.
Right.
Yes,
they raise their fan base up bigger than a 90s Chiefs fan base that knew they were going to lose in the playoffs.
Right.
Which is fun to make fun of now because of the three Bulls hate them.
Right, yeah.
And
the success now.
You look at, like, Dallas. You're like, all right, here we go. All right, how are they going to lose this year in the playoffs? This year we don't have to worry about
this year they're not going.
Although DraftKings put out some sort of, like, ridiculous model of the way they can make the playoffs.
Oh, stop.
Oh, it's funny.
Just stop.
Then they put it in the bottom corner, and it's like plus, like, 79,000. It's something wild. They did have to look it up during the break, but they're like, the potential shot of the Cowboys making the Super Bowl, and it was like, or making the playoffs, and it was like a paragraph. But the Knicks last year, right, they were, like, pretty decent, and they had a really good season. And they do it without Julius Randle, which is a storyline in itself with the Knicks. And then they get to the playoffs. Everyone's like, all right, they might have a chance. I believe they win a series. And then they get to the next round. And it's like, we knew it. Because the way that, and which is, you talk about the comparison, Skip Bayless is that way towards Dallas. Stephen A. is that way towards the Knicks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And those guys, you know, used to play off their emotion with those teams. Because essentially that's what I think of is that's who those two teams are.
Yeah, I think the 90s Chiefs example is good because every year you went in thinking you were going to win and do good, and then it was 13-3, failed in the playoffs. Then the next year was 8-8. Then you got back, and you were good again, and it was 8-8, and then 9-7. It was back again. And like, it was a great, great, great
era of
Chiefs football.
Which is a great business model if you're a scumbag.
Yeah.
If you're like, let me get you here real quick. Come here, I'll tell you how you get these fans to buy in. You get just there, and then you disappoint. But then you come back with a little bit of promise, still get there, disappoint. They'll come back every year. Nobody went anywhere from 91 to 99.
No, then Gunther took over for 2 years. Then Vermeil came in, and we were all back, baby, and it was in again. And then, you know, now it's obviously paying dividends, and it's awesome. But, no, I think certain sports are better when certain teams win. Like, I think if you look around, like, the NHL, if the Rangers are good, that's a good thing. Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, one of a classic team, or Boston like that in the NHL. And, you know, I think in football, I think right now the Chiefs are the team that everybody wants to be good. I think the NFL's better right now, quite honestly, with the Detroit Lions being good. I think there's a lot of people that are excited. I was talking to my friend Joe yesterday, and he's like, man, it's hard not to root for the Lions. I'm like, yeah, he goes, Amara St. Brown is just like a sweetheart. I go, yeah, my wife says the same thing because of that wide receiver show. Like, it's how these shows portray these players, and we just kind of either A, fall in love with them, or B, go, screw you, because Kirk Cousins got, how many people became Kirk Cousins fans because that guy was shopping at Kohl's and sitting at the fire pit? Right,
he won over the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, he did. Like,
we'll give you $250 million.
Yeah,
why not?
And Dan Campbell's just an everyman out here coaching the football team, right? Like, he's relatable, I think, Dusty, to
definitely to Mac.
Everybody out there, right?
Yeah, really relatable to Mac.
Yeah, he is. Mac,
2 for $25.
Yeah,
baby.
Yeah.
Come
the
on.
Applebee's. Yeah.
Dollaritas.
Have you ever seen him at the Applebee's?
Not yet.
No, okay.
Not yet.
Did all the Applebee's close in KC, by the way? Did I hear that?
There's one in Blue Springs.
Is it still open?
Mm-hmm.
Like today? Do you know that for a fact?
Yeah, drove by it.
Okay, because there was like eight of them shut down immediately.
It's been 2 weeks since I've been through Blue Springs, but it was there when I was
just recently. I'm not kidding. Like, Applebee's came in like from the franchise and like shut down a bunch of these Applebee's here in KC. I don't know if all of them have closed down, but
thanks, millennials.
A bunch of them have shut down. I guess the franchisees maybe weren't doing the right thing or something. You know how it goes.
I don't know how I'm supposed to eat good in the neighborhood, man.
Well, I'll tell you, you don't go to Applebee's right now. You got to go to Chili's. Get some of those chicken crispers.
So like when they have their final day of closing, can we just go in there and be like, dude, I know you're closing, so like load up my chicken tender basket.
Yeah, right. Give me an extra
tender. It says three, throw six.
Yeah, give me six. Come on now.
And I know you're gonna get rid of that ice cream. So give me that Oreo shake for free.
Yeah.
Come on, you're closing.
Yeah, that Oreo shake is money, man.
Good.
Yeah.
I've also heard that if you know a restaurant's closing, go in there and talk about their booze.
Oh, yeah, you can take bottles of booze off the shelf. Have you done that before?
No, I'm just saying, like, there was a bar that I worked at in Warrensburg, and they were getting ready to close. And, like, the night that they closed, they're like, we got to get rid of all this booze. So, let's just, because, like, obviously you can claim it for, like, purposes of, like, getting, like, your refund back if, like, that sort of happens. But it was, like, more so the boss, like, yeah, well, There it goes, all that Patron.
It was like the end of college every semester. We would do a drink 'em dry night, and we'd just go around the house, whatever was left. You know, we had a drink before we left for semester break. You know?
Yeah.
And so every time I look at like some of the booze in my house, I'm like, I gotta have a drink 'em dry night. Like, there's some stuff in here like this pineapple vodka that I'm never gonna drink that. Like, it's there, but if you have a drink 'em dry night, somebody's drinking that pineapple vodka.
Yeah.
Oh, Dusty would love it.
I mean, probably.
Would you like it?
Big pineapple. I mean, I would
just, I just mix it with some Sprite.
You think? Is that what you do?
Shake it in a blender and like make basically like a slow, almost like make like a slow gin fizz, a pineapple vodka version instead of gin. I would be all right with that.
Okay.
I would be all right with it tonight because I have to ask you guys. I know we're all three probably in the same boat here because when I sent this text yesterday, it like erupted Bob's brain. Tonight is Thursday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
It is Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Before you're like, Dusty, come on, pump the brakes. Cleveland, AFC North.
That's right.
But wait, there's more. So I sent a text because I'm in the weather. And from Alan Saunders.
Did you see this like microburst in Seattle that destroyed the practice facility?
No, I lived in a freezing temperature night last night and this morning. But the forecast for Thursday night in Cleveland includes flurries changing into full-on lake effect snow.
Yeah, baby.
And 20-mile-per-hour winds coming off the lake. End of the tweet, sounds like AFC North weather. No, it sounds like my dream fantasy football weather. And I said this on the rundown. Does it matter if who's playing if it's a snow game?
No, it doesn't for me. But this adds to it because, first of all, the colors of the uniforms are brilliant and they're going to pop off the screen. I'm a big
orange and black
and all like the beautiful colors, right?
Yeah,
and then
the snow's coming
down. And then the snow's coming down through the lights and they're going to show it through the lights and it's going to look like it's more. And then you're going to have people with their shirts off in the crowd and you're just going to have a fun game. This is childhood being revisited, right? Because when it would snow, you throw on your snow clothes and man, you were out in the yard playing football for hours on end, full on tackle football and your snow suits and everything. Like it was, this reminds me of childhood. This reminds me of growing up. And I think that's what we like, you know, so much about sports is like, you go back to your childhood, like, man, what would I would have done there? Snow was an immediate football all day for us when it would be like that. And so I love it, man. I don't care who's playing in this game, but the fact that it's in Cleveland where they're having a bad year playing against the Pittsburgh Steelers who are having a good year. Mm-hmm. It's a huge game for Pittsburgh tonight, I think, on a short week.
On a travel.
Exactly. And not that it's far, but it's still traveling.
No, but it's also that time of year where the good teams that are close to you, right? You're no longer undefeated. You're damageable now. You can bleed.
Right.
How much, we don't know, but you can bleed. You want those teams to get out of the picture.
Right. You want Pittsburgh to lose.
Everybody tonight, we're big Jameson Winston fans.
Yeah.
We're big Nick Chubb fans and anti-Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh loses. It's another loss on their resume that keeps them away from the one seed.
And it also is one of those things now where people will start questioning Pittsburgh tomorrow morning. Well, are they a fraud? Are they real? Can they really do it? Like, can you lose to Cleveland? Blah, blah, blah. All that kind of stuff. So that'll be the conversation as well.
Yeah, Baltimore did.
And Baltimore, lost to...
Did they lose to Cleveland?
Yeah, they lost
to Vegas, Cleveland, Kansas City. Yeah. Raiders and Steelers.
Yeah. So they've got themselves, you know, this is a huge game tonight for Cleveland. And you're probably thinking 8-2 versus 2-8. How is that a huge game? It is. You can't lose this game if you're Pittsburgh. Like there's nothing to gain.
And it's
gain.
A division game. See, in a North game. Right. See, no, it's tough.
It's like tough game.
These games, I get it, man. You're like, nah, Pittsburgh's defense is great. TJ Watt's going to destroy Jameis and Winston. Probably.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Maybe.
But I'm interested to see with the weather involved on a short week on the road, how Pittsburgh looks like this. I mean, I really hope it is like lake style snow.
I do too. I hope it's like a blizzard condition, man. I hope they show guys in the stands their mustache as snow and icicles hanging from it. You know, like all of that is what I want tonight.
You know how cool Tom Coughlin is going to look tonight? Tomlinson, I mean, not Tom Coughlin.
Who?
I thought Tom Coughlin first.
Tom Coughlin in the snow. We saw his face 20 years ago in Green Bay.
He looks like that little character from the original Rudolph.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. Mike Tomlin may not wear a shirt tonight.
He does look like that.
Yeah. No, Mike Tomlin.
I love Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin. Sunglasses, no sunglasses in the snow.
I say you wear sunglasses and shirt. You just go out there to rip it, man. Let's go.
What's the meme between him and, is it Stefanski? That's his name in Cleveland?
Yeah.
It's like, the guy that she tells you about versus the guy that she doesn't tell you about.
Oh, yeah.
Tomlin's the guy she's not telling you about. Yeah, Mr. Fancy's guy. We're just friends. You're like, that guy, for sure.
Yeah.
Switch over the other sideline, just stone cold hat on, blacked out sunglasses. Like, Thomas is
a badass. I love that guy so much. He's just awesome.
This is the AFC North. This is like a turducken of AFC North. You've got all three parts that make football cool tonight.
Do you have a favorite snow game that you've watched over the years?
Yeah, that Brady game where he went nuclear against, I believe it was Philadelphia. It wasn't Philadelphia, but he had like five touchdowns in the first half.
Yeah.
I think he was like 18-19 with like five touchdowns, three to Randy Moss in the first half. They were in the red and the old school Patriots. That's the one I remember. And then there was one.
Mine's the Tuck game.
Oh, yeah. And then there was like a Philly game versus Washington, I think. And LeSean McCoy went off for like four touchdowns as well because you can't stop him in the snow.
Right, yeah.
And I mean, it was like waist high snow.
Yeah, those are great. The Tuck game for me, though, because it was snowing here, too. And I remember that day I went with my friend Britt. We went to this place called Grinnell, Iowa, when they were playing basketball up there. They were scoring like 160 a game back in the day, right? All they would do is launch three-pointer after three-pointer. It was like the most impressive thing you'd ever seen on a basketball court. Mm-hmm. Get home, it's the Tuck game. It's snowing outside. I got my beer in the ice outside. Side,
that's cool.
Watching that. I like putting beer in snow. Okay. Like setting it up at the, like a Chiefs game when it snows, like the Colts playoff game. We built a bar in the snow and had all the bottles in there and stuff like that. Like that's just a lot of fun. Rain, you can kick rocks, but the snow, so much fun. So the Tuck game for me, I think, is the best snow game that I've ever seen.
No doubt. Coming up on the other side, two additions. Who's the bigger addition? We have a debate on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
All right, we're back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Mac Morey producing and driving the sidecar right along here on a Thursday morning here in Kansas City, getting set for Thursday night football. And of course, the Panthers taking on the Chiefs this weekend. And I think it's a big week. I think it's a big week for the Kansas City Chiefs. We're getting guys back. We're getting guys healthy, putting guys back into the lineup. And hopefully all the sky is falling narrative ends this week when they go out there and they take care of the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. But two guys are coming back and we're going to kind of talk about who's like the bigger addition coming back into the fold here. Is it Charles Omenihu that is coming back into the fold, or is it going to be Isaiah Pacheco that comes back into the fold, and that's the biggest addition to this team? And I think on the surface, most people would probably lean towards Pacheco, you know, being the bigger addition here because this has become such an offensive league, and we focus so much on the offensive side of things. But I think right now, Charles Omenihu may be the bigger addition right now to this team because, I don't know, the pass rush over the last couple of weeks, not exactly where, you like to see it, and I think Charles Omenihu can really help out this pass rush right now.
No doubt about it. I think the one thing that's been frustrating is pressure on quarterbacks, and I think that's one thing that's really made the Chiefs different when it comes to their team last year and this year. And I was talking to Mac when we were doing some pre-production work. I'm like, man, where's George Karlaftis been?
Yeah, where has he been this year, right?
So far, four sacks. I mean, I guess that's
about halfway through the season. That's eight. That's less than last year, you know? Right.
10.5 last year.
Yeah, 10.5.
57 sacks as a team last year. Right now, the Chiefs at 19.
Yeah, that's a low number.
That's a significant dip. That's because, I mean, it seems like obviously the elephant in the room is Chris Jones just gets all the attention.
Right.
And I know that we live in a day where, you know, we have so many stats that can identify a player that are different than it was back in the day. You go baseball, it's like batting average, RBI, home run.
Right.
You know, modern day, it's like, I need to see slug, OPS, his FIP, his war, all that sort of stuff. And I know that Chris Jones gets on the stat sheet with sacks, but he also doesn't get on the stat sheet with other things that he creates, right? Pressure being one. I know that's a stat, but we don't look at it maybe as enough to give it credit. I'm with you. Like, as much as I want to see Isaiah Pacheco back, which we are going to see Isaiah Pacheco back this week. We know that, I'm pretty sure, now by looking at the practice reports. And another one will come out.
Everybody practiced.
That's right. And another one will come out today as well. But the split backfield is interesting, but the D-line help is where this team is going to get better.
Yeah.
Because when you take the opponent's quarterback out and give your offense back the ball at a better rate, then that kind of elevates the running back game. You can have the running back game, but if you're not stopping the other team on defense, you're allowing them to score, your running back game is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. So, but the addition of the D-line and Omenihu, who when he came back last year after his six-game suspension, everybody's like, man, that's nice. That addition's been great. And I think when you look at when you ask the question that you brought up on the other side, or at the start of this conversation, what makes this team better? The obvious, boring answer is a defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
Because the defensive lineman that can help the defense get better, and I'm not saying this defense is bad, obviously.
No.
But over the last couple of weeks, it's not been what it was the first couple of weeks. But, like, if you can smother teams at the defensive line, and then you can give Patrick Mahomes the ball, and then he can be like, Pacheco, Hunt. How about we do it 10 times each, boys?
Yeah.
Then you can control the games at more pace that you like to do. And then, you know, moving forward, who knows what happens with other guys returning to the team.
But I also think the addition of Charles Zimena, who is big because, you know, you have to look at a defense, really the whole team, as kind of like that central nervous system, right? Mm-hmm. If the defensive line is getting to the quarterback and putting pressure on the quarterback and sacking the quarterback, Nazi Johnson doesn't look as bad as some people think Nazi Johnson has over the last couple of weeks, right? And I saw that he was getting some nasty stuff on social media. Again, if you're attacking an athlete on social media, you are the biggest loser walking around town. Like, you suck hard, man. Like, if you're attacking an athlete on social media because you don't like the way he played, you suck.
Yeah.
And you're just a loser as a human being. So I saw a story that Nazi Johnson was getting some static on social media. But, you know, the 19 sacks, you got to look at that and go, that number has to be better, especially like Chris Jones. Like, if he's getting triple teamed, somebody else has to, you know, step it up. He's not going to break through a triple team. It's just not going to happen. But he's absorbing three other blockers. Some other dude should be able to get to the quarterback. And so hopefully that's where Charles Amenihu kind of comes into play. And he was a beast last year. The only question that I really have with Charles Amenihu, and this is me thinking and not him, obviously, but those knee injuries, you're never fully back until the following year. Everybody who's been through a knee injury or a major injury like that, mm-hmm. they always tell you, you're thinking about, can I trust this? Can I put the pressure? Can I do that? Will I get hurt again?
Mm-hmm.
And until you get out of that mindset, it's hard to go out there and play. But it sure seems like Charles Amenihu is ready to go. He's kind of been the chomping at the bit term, like they like to say. So I'm excited to see what he can do, because I was excited last year when he came back, because he really was a difference maker for this team last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's just, you know, he's that middle plug, right? Like,
yeah.
You put him next to Chris Jones, and it's like, okay, now this guy's kind of a force to be reckoned with. We can still double-team Chris Jones, which we will, is what you want to do. But it creates more of an advantage for George Karlaftis.
Mm-hmm.
It creates more of an advantage for Chris Jones, whether you like it or not, whether you believe that or not. And I think, like you said, like, if you can wreck in the trenches, which is, I think, what the Chiefs want to do, that's kind of Spags' style.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
It's always been that way. I mean, you can ask, you know, Eli Manning. He's got a Super Bowl to thank, which we'll talk about later, because of the pass rush that mm-hmm. Spags created in New York. But the thing that's what I go back to is that I think that this team has really relied more of the pie graph on the defense to be successful than the offense.
Sure.
And I don't think that's a stab at the offense. I just think that that's what they have decided they can do, because they know for a fact that their offense can go out there and score 20 points a night. And they know their defense is good enough to hold teams to 17 or less. Now, it hasn't been the case in 3 of the last 4 games.
Right.
But again, that's why we bring this conversation. What's more important to add to this team right now? Defensive tackle like Obi Minihue or a guy like Isaiah Pacheco? Feel free to chime in. 913-586-7965.
And it's defense, and it's not sexy, you know, because it's defensive side of the football, but
right. That's
where they put all their eggs. I mean, up until the Xavier Worthy pick, all their picks in the early rounds have been on the defensive side of the football. They've been gearing up. They got first-round pick in Karlaftis, first-round pick in Trent McDuffie, right? Like, so you've got some money and high draft picks that are invested on that side of the ball. I saw a stat on McDuffie yesterday. He gave up one passing yard the other day against Buffalo. I mean, like, Trent McDuffie is still going out there and playing unbelievable football, you know, for this team. Now, George Karlaftis, it's time. It's time for him to go out there, because we're getting now into that contract part of this, you know, the year. They can talk to George Karlaftis at the end of this season. And if mm-hmm. you're George Karlaftis, you want to put a big, you know, big number up there in that sack category and show this team, yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to sign a long-term deal. I'm the right guy to play, you know, left defensive end, right defensive end, wherever the hell you want to utilize me. So he's got a lot to gain by playing well over these final 7 games of the regular season and then into the playoffs. But also, too, Charles Amenihu is going to make George Karlaftis better, because now you're going to have to account for him and Chris Jones, and that should put George Karlaftis in more one-on-one type of situations, and he should win those battles.
And I think that where this helps the most, because, you know, the text line says, well, aren't they pretty good against the run? That's correct. They are. I mean, they're 3rd in the NFL with rushing yards allowed at 85, but they're giving up 212 passing yards. It's below middle of the pack. That's 17th. And they're giving up a 41% success rate on third down. That's 21st. that's the trenches, man. That's your third and whatever, and then that's your quarterback being able to sit back and get, you know, yardage on third down. That also helps you win time of possession. And one thing that we said the Chiefs is key values this year is running the football and time of possession and converting on third down. And all three of those kind of affect each other in the same globe or the same sphere, because if you're running the ball successfully, you're getting third and shorts, which means you're converting on third down, which means you're controlling the ball of the game. Yeah. And that's what the Chiefs do, and that's how they win, because then when Mahomes has a 10-point lead in the second half, he can just go through the motions and control things. But let's focus more so on Isaiah Pacheco, because he doesn't strike me, because I've seen a lot of this week. And I know I'm probably putting my eyes to some screens too much more than I probably should, but I'm seeing some people that are like on a lot of different sides of the Isaiah Pacheco thing of like, I'd like to see him eased back in. I'd like to see him kind of like mix that role with Kareem Hunt. I look at it completely opposite. When I think of Isaiah Pacheco, and this is purely on attitude, morale, and the way he runs, the term ease back in doesn't really kick into gear for me with Isaiah Pacheco.
Right.
Now, again, I know he doesn't control how many snaps he plays, but he controls how hard he plays. And I don't see him being a guy that's going to go up to Andy or go up to Matt Nagy and be like, hey, like, you know, I'm cool with like 5-8 and I'm out. I think he's the guy that's like, look, dude, I'm in my third year in the NFL as a running back. I'm ready to prove it. That's in the back of his mind, I think, is the next contract, because we know running backs are starting to become more of a vital, important piece of the offenses in the NFL. But also, like, running backs are a dime a dozen,
they
right?
Are,
like, we know that theory. We know that
Isaiah
narrative.
Pacheco is a dime a dozen. He's a seventh-round pick, right?
We know that narrative of the position. He seems like a guy that's been missing it more than the team's been missing him. And that's not a shot at him. Mm-hmm. That's just a very good that's very high praise for Kareem Hunt. But Kareem Hunt also, to me at least, seems like the guy who's the complete opposite. Like, hey, Andy, if you want to just use me for 5 or 6 this week, I'm down. I'm a little beat up. I'm a little sore. I'm a little older. Let's get the kid back in and get the wheels turning. And then by the time you get through Vegas and you basically have the same game back-to-back weeks, bigger advantage next week, it's at home, 2:00, Black Friday, short week.
Right.
You get into that, then it's like, all right, home stretch, big teams, Denver, Pittsburgh, Houston, L.A., let's run the ball with a two-man tandem. So I'm interested to see how Pacheco comes back and kind of gets into his rhythm, but he doesn't seem like an ease-in guy. He seems like a guy that's like, let's go back to 15, 16 carries.
Well, I don't think Andy eases anybody back in. I think if you're on this team and you're ready to go, you're playing. And there's going to be no, oh, let's give him 2 carries here, 3 carries here, anything like that. I think if you're ready to go, you're ready to go. That's kind of been the case, I think, with Andy Reid over the years. So, and that's also left to be determined on what you determine ease back in is, because you know, fantasy owners, that you're going to see split carries, right? So I don't want to hear, oh, they eased Isaiah Pacheco back in. He only got 10 carries. And then you look at Kareem Hunt, he got 12 carries. Now, that's not easing back in. That's the offense right now. And that's what's going to be the offense moving forward. And quite honestly, that's what should be the offense moving forward. Split those carries with those running backs and take the wear and tear off of both of them. We're hitting December almost, right? Next week is December. So we've got to start focusing on the long term, the long haul, and what this team is going to be in January and February. And having 2 fresh, healthy running backs is going to be key to having that postseason success. And we may look back at that injury to Isaiah Pacheco and be like, that was a blessing in disguise. They only lost 1 game without Isaiah Pacheco in the lineup, and that was to one of the best teams in the NFL in the Buffalo Bills. You get Pacheco back, you run the ball against Buffalo in the postseason with him and a more fresh Kareem Hunt than we have right now. I mean, I hate to say good luck to Buffalo, but good luck to Buffalo, because that's going to be the new wrinkle that comes in this offense in January when these two teams meet up at Arrowhead for the right to go to the Super Bowl.
If you look at good offensive teams, they're running the 2-tandem back.
They are. They always have. And Andy Reid has run the 2-tandem back a lot here. Guys you never heard of before, I mean, Ware and West and guys like that. But
they ran it with Charles and Thomas Jones.
Absolutely, they
did. They ran it with Priest and LJ for a while.
Absolutely, they did. It's the right thing to do.
Well,
I know about a year. I know it's not the sexy thing to do, but it is the right thing to do. It is absolutely the right thing to do. You're doing what's best for the overall team when you split the carries with those running backs.
What do you guys want out of Sunday? Because we're to Thursday, so we can really kind of dial into Bryce Young and the Panthers.
What do we want? What do we need? I think.
What do you want?
What do I win? That's all I care about.
That's all you care about? You don't care if it's 13-3 with another blocked field goal?
Nah, I really don't. It doesn't bother me. A win's a win in the NFL.
That's tough.
Not against
this team, dude.
Well,
not against this team.
It's also November, you know?
Like, yeah, well, it's time to start nut cutting.
For who, though? For the national media?
I think for everybody.
If they win, they're 10-1. If they win 13-3, they're 10-1. If they win 31-3, they're 10-1. Nothing changes from that standpoint.
I mean,
you don't get bonus points for winning. You don't get strength of schedule points. You get none of that. You win, you take care of business. That's where I am.
I respectfully disagree.
Okay.
Because I think there would be a massive amount of concern if this team won 13-10 against Carolina. Mm-hmm. That's not what this game is. I'm okay if they win that game like that against Vegas. It's a conference game. This is a team where literally every position on the field, the Chiefs are better. Every single one of them, from left tackle to right tackle to quarterback to running back to receiver to defensive players. And I look at Carolina as, look, what did we say in baseball? If you're playing the White Sox, you need to beat this team every time. Now, I know there's different analogies in sports, but it was more so like you need to beat this team. And this is a game where, like, I'm not saying they have to win 49-7, mm-hmm. but this is a game where it's like from the word go, it's over. Like, you can watch the game and be like, I am not concerned with what happens the rest of this game. I'm not necessarily saying that I want to see Carson Wentz play in the second half because they're up 28-0, but I want to see this game be like, okay, here comes our offense. We punted twice total, and we got points on every single drive because, again, I used the analogy this week. This is a game in which you just played a golf course that ate your lunch, and you were slicing it. You were second-guessing your wedges. You were missing reads on the green. And then the next week, you're like, I'm not that type of golfer. I know I'm not that type of golfer. I'm going to go to an easier course and get it figured out. That's what the Chiefs are doing today. They're going and essentially playing Hoots Hollow, which is a wide-open course for those that need a reference. But this is a wide-open matchup where you should just be able to be like, you know what? I have time to throw it. I know that this team is not the type of teams we're going to play in the playoffs, but let's get back into the mold because, again, you don't have to show anything. You don't have to be, like, above and beyond. But, man, you win this game 13-10. I'm going to have concerns.
Yeah, I'm not, because I saw an 11-6 team last year go and win the Super Bowl with wide receivers that couldn't catch a cold, you know? So to me, the regular season, and I'm steadfast in this, I don't care. I just get the wins, get into the playoffs.
But this is a 9-1 team.
I know. Yeah, just win and get into the playoffs. Go 10-1. However you do it, you get there, you win your 10th game, and we move on. I don't need to see the regular season show like the Detroit Lions are putting on. I've seen that show before, right? And now we're watching a team that is so methodical at what they do, so scripted, if you will, at what they do, so planned out at what they do. Everything they do right now is setting up something that they're going to do tomorrow that's going to lead to something that they're going to do Friday that leads to something that they're going to do in the postseason. Everything is so meticulous with this team. And so if Andy wants to go blow somebody out, I'm sure Andy will go blow somebody out and this team will go blow somebody out. But if they just want to go out to Carolina and work on some things that maybe they didn't get done in the Buffalo game and tune some things up a little bit and win a game 20-7 or something like that, then that's what we're going to see. And so I'm all about just getting a win, getting that flavor of winning back after, oh my God, one loss to the Buffalo Bills. So I don't need anything spectacular. I never need a spectacular win in the NFL. I just need wins in the NFL because at the end of the day, that's all that matters, whether it's by 1 point or 20 points. Just win, baby, as Al Davis used to say, right? Was that him or was that somebody else?
I don't know, but I agree with the sentiment of where you're coming from. I would just say you said the flavor of winning. Well, let's stick along with that analogy. Let's say the flavor of 20-7 is a sirloin. I'd like a filet.
Okay.
You know, I'd like a ribeye. You know, 35-10 would be just
be great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And I do think at some level it matters. I get what you're saying. You're right. Come January, no one's going to be talking about, dang, I really wish we beat the Panthers by 10 more points. You know,
right.
That's not going to be relevant. But it is on a micro level, from week to week, really good to have some sort of confidence in this team in the locker room of like, hey, we can take care of business against the worst of the worst and against the best of the best. And that should show in the scoreboard as well.
Yeah, I think they're good. I think they got plenty of confidence. I mean, I was listening to Kelsey's podcast, you know, with his brother. Did you know these guys do a podcast together?
Okay.
Jason and Travis did a podcast.
That may take off.
It may be something big. I don't know. They should get a beer sponsor on it. I kid Travis. It was really good. Like he was talking about like inside that locker room. He goes, yeah, I mean, let's go. It's go time. You get beat. And it wakes everybody up is kind of what he was talking about. And that's what we said all along. Every year, like, this is the same thing. We have seen this act 1,000 times now with the Chiefs, right? You go into the regular season, you have all these high expectations, they win all these games, then they fall down and they lose a game, and what do they do afterwards? They bounce right back up. They have a great game. They play well. They refocus a little bit. I think at 9-0, I think all of us, including myself, you start looking around going, all right, the undefeated season, that pressure's off now. Now you have the opportunity to kind of go out there and play your game. And as as November gets ready to turn to December, and we've got a couple of November games left before we hit December, that's when you start to see this thing get ramped up a little bit. You start to see the playoff style of things come out. They do save things for good with this organization, and I do believe that's the right thing to do because it's paid dividends, right? Like, if they hadn't won two Super Bowls in a row and three in the last 4 years or whatever it's been, I could sit here and question some of this stuff, but who am I to question Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Chris Jones? You want to go out there and win 13-10 and feel good about it? I'm good with it as well, man. Go do your thing.
And maybe we're having like two different arguments here, because I'm not concerned. That's I don't want that to be the known narrative. I not once did I say I was concerned or that they were going to show something special. But if you're going to take your B playbook against Buffalo and lose by 9, then take that B playbook against Carolina and win by 19.
Okay.
Because I don't know what's worse, their offense or their defense.
Their offense
ranks 32nd in total yards, 31st in passing yards, 29th in points, 29th in third down conversion percentage. Their defense gives up is 29th in points allowed. They're 32nd in rushing yards allowed, 32nd in points allowed, and 32nd on third down conversion rates.
And that means it's going to be a close game.
Gosh.
We have seen, like, we everybody plays this team close. I'll be interested to see what Mitch has to say about this one tomorrow, and where kind of his mindset is, you know, with this game, if he thinks it can be a blowout, because as we've talked about, they haven't blown anybody out since the Bears last year, yeah, right? I mean, that's the last time they legitimately blew a team out of the water. And so maybe this is one where the you know, the circle of trust gets together and say, Andy, let's go kick the snot out of these people, you know? Let's go take care of business. Or it's one of these games where Andy looks at him and goes, what do you want to do? Goes, let's just go get a win and, you know, worry about, you know, kicking the snot out of the Raiders 5 days later on Black Friday.
Speaking of taking care of business, there's a new definition of insider for one Adam Schefter. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. It is officially turtleneck season. Hoodies, turtlenecks, crew necks, long necks, all of it. As we are officially moving along in this November month, next Thursday, Thanksgiving, if you can believe it.
Woo!
Big fan. Which you'd think it's Christmas everywhere you went.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Schefter
went to Lowe's last night. There's a great Christmas display through. It was beautiful.
That sounds great.
Did you already go to Christmas in the Park?
No, I did not. That's not open yet, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it is?
Oh, there's light shows everywhere.
I thought Christmas in the Park didn't open until after Thanksgiving.
I don't know. My sister did like a Snapchat video the other night, and she was going through like the lights and a pizza.
Yeah.
And she lives out in Kansas, so she went somewhere.
Yeah. All right.
Adam Schefter had a story. I don't know. We heard this yesterday, and Bob's reaction was like, how cool do you think he thinks he sounds? Here we go. Just say it. So
that's like Binkley's dream.
In layman's terms, he got laid, he finished, and then told everyone that Dale Carter was suspended for gaina.
He got a text after having sex. That's basically what happened.
And Carter played, though, quite honestly, guys, there wasn't text messages back then. Dale Carter played in the 90s.
Yeah, so how did he get a text?
Yeah, that's weird.
Like, see, I'm not like...
You're like a pager?
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to figure out how that story works because I... I know when I started texting because I was dating a girl much younger than me at the time, right? Ooh. It was like 2003, 2004, that era is kind of, and then I started dating my wife and I only text, and she ran a $200 text bill up the first month and whatnot before unlimited texting and all that kind of stuff. You know, there was a time. So that Dale Carter was not playing in a text era. And even if he was, it was like the fringe text era where nobody was really texting. They were T9ing every once in a while, but people were calling and whatnot, and like there wasn't a lot of text messaging going on in the Dale Carter era. So I don't know if it all adds up. And also, too, man, stop putting your job ahead of your personal life. Like, seriously.
That guy, though? Kidding me?
I know. I get it. But, I mean, like, there's got to be, like, a turnoff switch. That's why those insider jobs, like...
Dale Carter was suspended in 2000.
Okay. Nobody was texting in 2000. I mean, and if you were, it was very, very fringe at that point of the time. Think about the flip phone that you had back then. Nobody was really text messaging in the year 2000.
Mac was two.
Yeah.
Think about the flip phone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, Mac has no idea. He doesn't even know the iPhone 5, phone. Like, hey, right? Man,
take it easy.
Yeah. Remember, what was that iPhone 5G that came out? And it was like the cheaper iPhone version at the time. Mm. Mac doesn't even know about that back in the day.
The iPod Shuffle?
Yeah. Did you have an iPod?
I had a Nano.
You did? Okay. Yeah, cool. All right. Great. Yeah. All right. Great.
Do you know the term BlackBerry?
Yeah. Do you know the term BlackBerry? Maybe he got something. I don't know.
They just came out, by the way, on that.
I loved my BlackBerry.
Did you? I never had.
I held on to the BlackBerry so long because it was all about the ball.
Yeah.
It was all about the ball in the middle. It was so great. And I held on to it as long as I could until I went to, at the time, Sprint store. And I was like, I think I need a new phone. And she was like, I hate to break this to you, but BlackBerries are discontinued. And I was like, oh no. I was like, all right.
That iPhone was like 07, 08 or something like that, man. Right?
Yeah. I loved it.
I was playing games on my dad's BlackBerry. That's what
They had Brick Breaker on that thing.
Yes, I remember that.
Oh. I never BlackBerried ever. Wow. Never had one.
Better cell phone games, Snake or Brick Breaker?
Snake.
Snake was awesome on that Nokia.
I had ringtone
because I could find it on the internet. Which keys to hit, and it was like dee nee 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 nee.
Oh, that like, Nokia phone was just like, there was no flip, awesome. It was no cover.
It was great, dude.
You had to like lock the, there, nobody was texting when Dale Carter played. Like, I'm just not buying that from Adam Schefter. And the way that he kind of developed the story was like, are we really telling the truth here on this one? And if you are, that's sad, bro. Like, seriously, that is sad that you're like putting
have
your
you ever
relationship.
Sent a text after sex?
Oh, all the time. Okay. I mean, I'm married. I mean, who doesn't, right? Like, who buzzed us in the last 10 minutes,
exactly.
You know? But 20, 30, depending on how long. I mean, you know, as Adam Schefter, you know, said. Yeah.
I got the job done.
In more ways than one. Oh, great. So
what
you're
do poops
a hero
feel
now.
Like yeah. Bags of sand? Credit the text line for that one. They said that gave off 4-year-old virgin bags of sand.
Yeah.
Driving like, his bike home. Bags
did.
Of sand? What are they thinking?
Yeah. Like, I'm not buying a lot of what he's selling in that one there. I mean, if he would have said a text message about, I don't know, Peyton Manning or somebody that played in the text messaging era, okay, fine. You're talking about Dale Carter, who, sorry, bro, like, played before the text message existed.
Hey, sorry. 1 second, baby.
Yeah.
Dale Carter just got suspended. Is this the ultimate song, like, for getting it on? Like, everybody loves this song, right?
Funky Cole Medina.
I don't know if I do. I know that one? Am I just?
I just sing, you know, songs that I make up in my mind.
Or just, boy, if that's the case, she's never getting there. French toast, please stop.
Yeah. Do we have the French toast song?
I would say Wild Thing by Tone Loc would probably be one that I'd get.
Oh, that's
down
a
to.
Good one. Yeah, I do like that.
Yeah.
Take a walk on the wild side.
Yeah. Werewolves of London.
Werewolves of London. Yeah. Anything with wild in it. Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
But I'm not just not buying Schefter, man.
Has there ever been like a weird place that you've had to like give a sports report? Because
you've been
doing this for like 25 years.
Yeah. When the kids were younger, I used to do it from inside the closet because that was the only place you could get quiet time. And because they'd be, you know, trying to bang down the door and do whatever. And so sometimes you'd have to do that. And, you know, there's always the off chance you're on the throne and you have to do something like that. You just hope the automatic flusher doesn't go.
Oh, I was never fortunate to have one of those.
You know, like you're in a public restroom and you got the automatic flusher. Like, oh, God, I got to do this, and then you move to the left or the right. Oh, are you using the bathroom, sir? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Like Binkley with Ned Yost that one time, you know, peeing with the microphone on. And
Binkley, your microphone's on.
One of the best.
What? Oh God,
no, that's a true
funny.
Story.
Yeah. Naked Gun reenacted at the Odyssey facility.
And then one time Vern played a prank on him and acts like threw away his chew, and Bingley went to the clubhouse press box trash can looking for his chew.
No, he didn't.
I got a picture of it.
God.
I said, Vern, you're an ass. And yeah. He goes, is he really in there? I said, what do you think?
Of course he's looking through the trash looking for chew.
He came out. He's like, Bingley, stop. It's one of your empty ones. Here's your full one. I got it in my back pocket. Yeah. It's funny, full circle. The weirdest thing I've ever done via radio was, it was with this show way back in the day when I was able to do a certain impersonation.
Yeah.
And I would call in and do hits.
Yeah.
And Wachowski had texted me, Brother Ryan.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, man, off the cuss, but I was wondering, there'll be a certain individual in town that you can do an impersonation of. Can you do it and start a bit with Fesco and Kling? And I was like, sure, what is it? And he throws the pitch to me. And I'm like, yeah, what time do you need? We need to like record that. He goes, oh no, it's on the air next break. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I was like, okay, well, I'm getting my oil changed and my tires changed, like rotated. I guess we'll just do it here. So I went outside and I did it. And you know, you get overmodulated.
Oh, of course,
and I'm like,
yeah.
And all these people are starting to like walk around and like, look, like, what is he doing?
What is this gentleman doing?
Like, why does he sound just like him?
Yeah. Why is he talking Chiefs in the parking lot?
Oh yeah. And we were like, I was talking like barbecue and all this stuff. And then I came back in, didn't say a word to anybody, and sat down, and I was like,
you were embarrassed?
No,
okay.
I was just like, I didn't know they had heard me, because I just kind of looked around, seeing people walk in, and when I walked in, it was kind of like one of those, everybody was like looking at me like, what did we just witness? And I was like, then they were like, Mr. Likens? Like, yep. And I got in the, like, thank you very much. And like, that's what he sounds like. So that was like the weirdest thing I've ever had to do with like radio. Everything else I've like, you know, I've had like people from other cities call me, but I've been here fortunate enough to where I just pop on like the little boards and switch in. But yeah, doing that impersonation for you and Josh back, gosh, what was that? Probably 8 years ago.
Yeah.
8, 9 years ago. God, that was awesome.
Yeah, that's funny at the Jiffy Lube. Yeah. Now, I mean, you have those every once in a while where you're doing those hits, but nothing like that, man. Like, seriously, like,
yeah.
It's not Dale Carter news is not that big a deal. It just isn't.
I wonder if you hit her with a liar, liar. I've had better. Or if that was
and
like,
what do you do if you're that woman?
You're probably like, do you send out like that? That'd be funny if like a woman had sex with Schefter and then broke it.
Yeah.
Breaking per source. Adam Schefter, less than 6. Not great. I just, you know. Wasn't there that one girl that like had sex with Julian Edelman and took a picture of it and then sent it to the like Snapchat world?
Oh no.
It was like, I think the caption was like, just had sex with Edelman, no lie, and he's in the bed like passed out, and she's got a picture.
Oh my god!
It happened like after a Super Bowl.
Oh god! I think the more you talk about it, the more I'm like, I kind of vaguely remember something
Google
like that
it.
Happened. Yeah, but I mean, do you think Schefter got a second date? Like, honest to God,
I doubt it.
If you're, with,
I feel like that guy's been laid 3 times.
Like if you're with somebody and you're in a moment, or you're even on a date or something like that, you got to put your phone away, man. Like, nothing's that important where you can do it. I remember I was, you know, back when Beltron was traded, we were sitting at this place called Patron on Southwest Boulevard across from, not Margaritas, but Ponax there on the rooftop when Carlos Beltran was traded. I was on a date at that point in time. Okay, great. Carlos Beltran is traded. I'll worry about it tomorrow. Like, you have to find a way to kind of compartmentalize these things. And sometimes, and this is good life for everybody, we let our jobs consume us when they really shouldn't. And that's not a good work-life balance. And so I don't know if this woman came back for a second date with Adam Schefter. I know if that was me and somebody did something like that, I'm out, man. See you later.
Depends on how good it was. Well, that's why there's never any breaking news on Tuesday.
That's right.
Coming up on the other side, though, we have a discussion of the Hall of Fame that I know for a fact is going to be directed towards one individual.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Where we all have a different opinion. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.